alcoholic just as much as he's hurting me. And in reality, sometimes I think I'm even doing it worse. Because everything my husband's ever done, he's done drunk or loaded on drugs or whatever. But every hurtful, spiteful thing I've ever did to him, I did stone cold sober, totally justified in my behavior. Totally justified. Again, how I am affected by the family disease of alcoholism. You know, I've heard a gazillion alcoholics talk from podiums before. Hundreds, if not thousands of them. And I've yet to ever hear an alcoholic come up from the podium and say that he drank because he's trying to hurt his family. I've never heard that one time. You know, but that's what the family disease of alcoholism will make the family members think, because that's just what it seems, because we're the ones that seem to get hurt over and over and over again. So anyway, you know, my husband told you how he ended up getting sober. His last drunk, on a scale of 1 to 10, I wouldn't give that sucker a 5, you know, but that's the one that got him sober, you know, and that was God working in his life. And, you know, he went in the hospital and he went in the psychiatric unit, and, you know, to cheer him up, I would bring him what the kids were making in, you know, preschool and kindergarten, but no, he wanted to show me what he made in occupational therapy that day, and I'd bring it home, we'd hang his pictures on the refrigerator, you know. Look, Daddy's sober, woohoo, he's painting pictures. Who knows what that was all about? And, you know, and when my husband went into the, you know, into the alcoholism treatment part of that, you know, he got sober in 79. In 79, the treatment programs were just opening. It was all about the alcoholic, no family, nothing. They said, you should go to A. Al-Anon meeting. That was my only direction from that. So I'm a rule follower. I went to A. Al-Anon meeting. I went back to that first meeting I'd been to. And we saved the last 10 minutes of the meeting for newcomers. I raised my hand. I said, I was here about a year and a half ago. I asked you how to get my husband sober, and you didn't tell me. And I am not going to tell you how I got him sober now. And because I believe that. I knew I had something to do with it, for sure. And you know what they said to me at that meeting? Keep coming back. You better believe it. And I am here to tell you, just so you know, if you're ever at a meeting of AA or Al-Anon and they tell you to keep coming back, it is because you said the most asinine, ridiculous crap. It's your only hope. Your only hope until you get your head out of your butt that you can, you know, actually start getting some help. And that was my Al-Anon career. And then, like, you know, and then Butch is sober. And you know how you guys are. No offense, but when you get sober, you guys are like, super sober, you know, it's like you go from being the biggest buttheads in the world to all of a sudden, ta-da, you know. And I would go with my husband in the beginning to AA, make sure he heard what he needed to hear, you know. But when you're not in AA, you know, and you're trying to figure it all out, it's a weird place to be. It just is. You guys get excited about weird crap, you know. I remember being at an AA meeting, and a guy got his driver's license. Holy crap, you'd think he'd won the Pulitzer Prize. I'm like, I've had a driver's license since I'm 16, you know. The place went nuts. You know, and I guess if you get your driver's license and your registration and insurance, that's like the trifecta of Alcoholics Anonymous. Woohoo! You know, I had no idea. And I'm trying to wrap my head around all this stuff, and because I just want my husband to be sober, you know. And I really did believe that his sobriety would fix me, you know. And nobody was more shocked, you know, when he was 2 years into his sobriety, I was just as angry and pissed as I have ever, ever been in my life. And nobody was more shocked about that, because I was always waiting for him to be a good husband, be a good father, get sober, bring home a paycheck. You know, and 2 years into his sobriety, he is doing all those things. He's bringing his program home. He's doing the very best that he can. I know he is. And I am just as miserable as I have ever been, because his sobriety didn't fix me. You know, what ended up happening for me real quick is I, you know, I'm a very task-oriented person, just who I am. I've got days that I do certain tasks on. This happened to be laundry day. My, you know, rule is no fun till the job is done. And so the boys are bigger. They're in the living room with their dad. They're laughing, cutting up. And here I come in with my laundry basket and dead silence. Because that's what I do, boy. I suck the joy right out of the room. That's my gift to the family. And I remember going through that living room, and I remember hearing God's voice in my head as clear as a bell, and it said, you've become your dad. And that's exactly what I was doing, because I was trying to run that family with fear, yelling, screaming, being this taskmaster that was just absolutely insane, because I'm so fearful that if I don't ride them and ride them hard, Butch will drink again, the kids will start doing drugs, you know, it's all going to, they'll start doing bad in school, everything will slip away from me, because again, that illusion of control. And I don't think that God gives you a message like that he doesn't give you a solution. And the very next thing I heard was, and this is not who you are supposed to be. And I knew that that wasn't who I was supposed to be. And that's when I started coming to Al-Anon 2 years into my husband's sobriety, not to get him sober, keep him sober. I came because I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. My first sponsor, Jeannie, I remember the first time I used her as a sponsor,